Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is a commentary episode, so that means that we are watching Season 7, Episode 19, Tea and Sympathy of NYPD Blue, while recording Season 7, Episode 19, Tea and Sympathy of NYPD Blue Balls. You can watch it along with us. I go 1, 2, 3, go at the beginning of the episode, which means we start at 0-0 on go. It is currently available on Hulu and Amazon Prime. The Hulu ones seem to be upscaled and brought into letterbox format, or just stretched out format, I'm not even sure, while Amazon keeps it in its square, low-definition version. So you pick your poison, really. But that's where you can watch them. Thank you for listening to this. If you make it to the end, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you again there. But until then, here we go with Season 7, Episode 19, Tea and Sympathy. And here we go. All right. 1, 2, 3, go. Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is Season 7, episode... Wow. I didn't write it down anywhere, and I can't see it.
Season 7, episode 19, Tea and Sympathy.
Thank you, Kyle. It opens up with Baldwin Jones working out, showing off his guns.
Fucking me, making me have to work in the opening.
fuck you. Baldwin Jones is doing a workout, and then
seven seasons and 19 episodes, and I haven't had to talk. Been forced to talk in an opening.
So here's Elizabeth Berkley playing Nicole, who basically shows up and is like, "Hey, I want to fuck you."
Is that what she says?
Yeah. She's like, "I'm not comfortable with someone helping me out unless I go to bed with them."
That's weird. That's an issue. You should probably
therapy.
Talk to someone about that.
Yeah, a little therapy. So Jones is like, "How about you go home and think about it?" And then this is the line. She says, "I told you I was a sister. Do you want me to tell you that I'm a virgin too?" Was she trying to say that she's black?
I don't know. I don't get it. Is she trying to say like, do you only like me if I'm black and a virgin?
And the look on her face when he's like, "How about we go to dinner and see if it like works out?" And she's like, "What? Dinner? A date?
Treat me like a human?"
And then he's like, "How about I call you and see if that'll work out?" And she's like, "Well, I guess you can call me and I see how I feel." Then she tries to go for a back touch and he's out of here. Because it turns out he got a page for a DOA. So I guess you could say he was saved by the pager.
You're the worst, dude. You're the worst, dude.
I think you mean the best. Because for all the people under the age of 30, Elizabeth Berkley was on a show called Saved by the Bell. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And this is Season 7, Episode 19, Tea and Sympathy.
Tea and Sympathy.
Are you... What? What was that? I can't tell if that was a Creed or Motorhead, maybe.
That's whatever you want. It's not Motorhead, not even close.
I'm trying.
Whatever you want it to be, dude.
This is another.
That's where we are in life.
This is another episode with a weird opening. It was just Baldwin working out, and then a woman being like, "Hey, I want to have sex." He's like, "How about a date?" And she's like, "Okay, Mr. Old Fashioned."
Okay. Respecting me as a person, get out of here.
And now we have a DOA. Sibwoods and Sorensen looking it over. It is a strangulation. She has semen on her face, hair, and vaginal area, and her panties duct taped at her ankles. And looks like a dump job.
Dumped as in like dropped there or like poop?
Like he dropped her there. I don't think he also shit in that alley, but I don't know.
I'm not saying he did. I was like, what if she did?
I don't know. I think she was already dead by the time she got there, Kyle.
Okay. Fair enough.
They mentioned that he is neat. The clothes are all torn. There's no blood coming from the wound in her cheek, so that means he just hit her while she was already dead.
Interesting. Lots of hate behind that.
You know, kind of a douchebag. You know, more than just a guy who murders and possibly rapes a woman.
Yeah, whatever happened to just your borderline run-of-the-mill...
Do you want to finish it? Do you want to finish it is the real question, what you started.
No, that's why I stopped.
So here we got Jimmy Cheatham, one of my favorite fake names, Jimmy Cheatham.
Oh my God, Kirk. Oh my God, I forgot what this episode is. Fuck you for saying you like this episode.
I love this episode because it's super weird. This is Jimmy Cheatham from, the British Empire. And... He is played by John Standing, who you might remember.
From the UK.
Who you might remember. You might remember from a little film called V for Vendetta. He played a pervy priest. He was also in The Elephant Man.
Hey, Kirk, it's safe to say I don't remember this guy for fucking shit. Sorry, that was so aggressive, and I don't know why.
It was pretty aggressive. It was pretty angry.
I'm just mad because, like, we just watched Lucky Luciano or whatever, and you kept saying how much better this episode was, and I was like, Kirk's gotta be right. Like, Kirk's gotta be right. Kirk wouldn't sell me short.
I just really like this episode. I like it because it's super goofy.
I don't know why. I think part of why I hate it is because it reminds me of that full season of, like, Dexter, where, like, the random British, like,
woman
lady shows up.
Yeah.
And she, like, kind of needs help with, like, figuring out her son and shit. Like, I don't know why. It just was weird to me.
I liked it for a couple reasons. So this guy... Because he gives a very interesting performance where he starts talking about how he believes the murderer that they have is a guy that he's been chasing in Britain named Andrew Conover.
For a little bit, right?
Yeah. Apparently he has like 9 murders in the Great Britain area and then 2 in America.
That's good for him. That's good numbers.
He's going for goat numbers. He's the LeBron James of rape and murder. But he...
So, never mind.
So, I don't know where you were going, but I'm glad you didn't go there. So here we have a weird moment because Sipowicz is like, you want tea? And he's like, we got Earl Grey. And the guy's like, uh-huh. He's like, well, that's just the tea that my partner used to have. But it turns out that he tried to tell the guy in the 25th precinct about how this could be connected, and that guy gave him a rub-off, a.k.a. a hand job.
A hand job?
If you're not from the British Isles and you need to know your sex acts.
That was hand jive.
Hand jive?
Yeah. Isn't that a song from Greece?
I don't know. I've only seen Greece once.
I think I've seen Grease in like parts.
But honestly, I think one of the reasons I like this, I just really love the name Jimmy Cheatham. It seems like a great fake name. Hi, Jimmy Cheatham.
I don't know, like, what is your deal, dude? Like, it's an okay name. Like, there's like a like better like fake names out there. Like John Irving's cooler.
And then Russell comes in and she's looking through his notebooks for some reason, and she notices the name Rupert Zisk, who is the guy that owns the mortuary that got a new embalmer, which is what Andrew Conover does. And she's like, oh, we collared a Rupert Zisk for dicky waving, as they put it. And they're like, well, maybe you should talk to Zisk then, because you have a previous history. And then I think Sorensen's like, hey, so why are you looking through my shit? I could have been putting in my booby doodles in there. I don't need you looking at my fucking notebook. Meanwhile, Sipowicz is going to look after Mr. Cheatham in the tombs. Also, did you see how weirdly he held up that notebook?
Are you watching how weirdly he's just sitting in his desk?
Good point. He's just a weird dude.
So something's going on with this Jimmy dude.
Yeah, he's obviously not feeling very well. And he's sort of blaming it on the time change, but he knows he can't get that past Sipowicz. He also lets him know that he has a former colleague who's a private citizen visiting New York, so they don't get caught up in entrapment.
Who talks like that?
Who talks like what?
Like the way this guy's doing it. Like
British people.
No, they don't.
What are you talking about? He's an older British man. What this is how he speaks.
Whatever, dude.
Also, if anybody knows British culture, it's the writers of NYPD Blue in the year 2000.
They've never had a woman writer, but they definitely probably had a British writer. You're right.
It's like we're watching, I don't know, the original Office.
What?
I don't know. I was trying to think of a British show that would make sense.
And then there's this dude.
Zisk.
That's a better fake name.
Rupert Zisk?
Yeah.
Okay, I disagree with you. I think Jimmy Cheatham
wins. Rupert Zisk could be so many things.
Well, it turns out this Rupert Zisk owns a mortuary where he doesn't check the backgrounds of, you know, embalmers, which might be a good idea, because they might, I don't know, fuck dead bodies. Like, you might want to check on that shit before you just hire them.
What in your in a background check would say that?
They don't have necrophiliac show up on your background checks?
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, but, like, is that a box that gets checked?
Sometimes if they're dumb enough to check it themselves. They're like, by the way, do you enjoy having sex with dead bodies? Yes. Damn it, I wrote it in pen. And this is where they find
out.
Damn
it, I lost the whiteout.
This is where it's revealed that Conover is using Jimmy Cheatham's name as a fake name.
Maybe you just proved my point that Jimmy Cheatham's a better fake name.
Yeah, maybe I did.
This guy's out here using it too.
What is interesting about this interview is they heavily imply that it's like, you're gonna let us sit on your place and put in cameras, or we're going to look into it and find out that you've been watching, and he doesn't refute it hard enough. They're like, so you're going to let us set up so that we're not going to believe that you were watching. And then he doesn't go like, you guys are sick. He's just like, yeah, I guess. It's like, so you were, fucker? Like,
well, they don't care about that.
Well, yeah, he didn't do
anything. They just want to catch the killer. They don't care if you're watching it. We'll deal with that later.
We'll catch you down the road.
Yeah, you'll do something to fuck up.
So, this whole scene is really weird. Medavoy and Baldwin are in the coffee room, and Baldwin's like, oh, I'm thinking about going out with Nicole, and then Medavoy's like, yeah, she looks like a whore. and then Baldwin's like, really, Medavoy? He's like, well, you know, just based on immediate first impression.
Superficial first impression.
She looks like a slut, Baldwin. It's like, thanks, Medavoy. They're waiting on Lou Simpkins, who's the guy that got the original story from Cheatham. And he hasn't shown up yet. Kirkendall and Russ got the deets on the new embalmer and pisses off Sipowicz when they find out he's using the cop's name. Andy keeps covering for Jimmy Cheats. And then Alice Kenyon comes in. Is that last name racist?
Sorry, I'm over here having a sneezing attack on mute. At least I put it on mute, though.
thank you, Kyle.
Oh, my God, that was horrible. Nose was like God. And it was just like, open up the floodgates.
If you have to edit, we can edit it.
Oh, sorry about that. Oh, Jesus.
It happened at a good time. It happened at a good time because for some reason Sipowicz has to introduce this person to everybody.
Sipowicz has a hard-on just because, like, they're cops. Like, that's it. Like, he's like, oh my God, cops from a different country.
You don't think it's because specifically they're British?
I mean, why would he like the British?
Good point. But I'm also wondering if...
And if we know anything about Detective Sipowicz, he's probably already questioning this woman because she's a woman. And she's not white.
What's really weird is I think what he's trying to do is like... He's trying to run interference for Jimmy, worrying that like maybe she doesn't know that he's not feeling well, so he has to like run interference for everybody to see Jimmy, including her. And so he's like
maybe
taking all this time and like introducing everybody and all this shit, and it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Maybe you know, it's also like he. Because this guy Jimmy's like, you know, this is a case I've been working on for a long time. There's the thing that, like, you know, maybe he isn't that well. And so Sipowicz kind of knows what it's like to not solve the case. Mm-hmm. And he wants him to make sure he can. So I get that.
This is where it's also mentioned that she's had a run-in with Cheatham. Or not Cheatham, Conover, the rapist murderer. Uh-huh. And he didn't make her for a cop. So... they're going to run it again, but she won't wear a body mic so that he can possibly get a little closer. And then Sipowicz has this moment where Metavoy's like, why does he have to knock before going in with Jimmy Cheatham? And he's like, where are these people from, Metavoy? He's like, England? And he's like, oh, exactly. And just walks out of the room. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. What would make you think Sipowicz knows anything about England?
And then...
like, Sipowicz hates anything that's not America.
And then we have Jimmy and Baldwin and Alice on the stairs. Lou Simpkins is coming up. And Cheatham is like, I want to be there when they give him shit for not listening to me.
Now he's being British.
What do you mean, the way
he's like, I want to be there when they give him shit.
that's inherently British. So
whatever, dude, whatever, dog.
Lou Simpkins is played by Zach Greiner. And this dude,
Grenier,
and he's been in a little bit of everything, including an earlier episode of NYPD Blue.
Yeah. What was he?
I believe he was a father of a dead son. They eventually find his son. But this dude's also been in a little bit of everything. Good character actor, but he was also in Fight Club as Edward Norton's boss.
Yeah.
And apparently he was on Deadwood as well.
Yes, he was a really cool character on Deadwood. From two different seasons. He's not a main character, a little side character. Yeah, I don't remember his character's name, but I don't remember most characters' names, so.
Here, as Lou Simpkins, he's a detective in the 25th, And they're giving him shit because he didn't look into what Jimmy Cheatham was saying. And he said, well, he didn't give me all the information. He just gave me a name, and that wasn't enough. And then Sipowicz was like, maybe you were, you know, giving him the rub off. And he's like, I'm sorry that I didn't pull every bit of information out of this guy. And I'm sorry that now you're going to take me off the case. And he's like, no, we called you up here to include you. But one thing is, this guy is subtly playing a possible alcoholic. And I think he's doing a great job.
No, he is definitely, he is playing a cop that, like, no one wants to work with.
Because even Jimmy says, like, a little comment, and then Sipowicz is, like, looking at him, and he gets really aggressive. And then Sipowicz is like, look, man, I just don't think you can admit you fucked up. And then the guy's like, yeah, you've never made mistakes. And then Sipowicz is like, I think you're drinking. He's like, and this is the guy who would know. Like, he brings it to the whole crew. And then
isn't that just telling everyone that, like, oh yeah, he does have an alcohol problem.
Basically.
Like, if his first response is just to be like, yeah, you would know, and like, oh, okay. So you don't want to deal with the issue.
And this also is another one of those great NYPD Blue moments, because Sorensen gets in his face, is like, maybe we don't work together, and he goes, I want to be kept apprised. It's like the classic, like, fine, I won't be around, but pretend like I'm involved.
I want all that, like, oh, what is that shit? I want all the paperwork.
But then there was that weird moment between them where he's like, I'm sorry I jumped your play, and then Sipowicz is like, I'm not at that age anymore, and then laughs at Jimmy. I was like, what does that mean? What does that mean exactly? If he was younger?
Yeah, 100%. If he was younger, like, if he was a younger up-and-coming detective, he would have been mad that you got in the way of him. Like,
oh, okay, I think I see what you mean.
Yeah, he would have been mad that you didn't let him keep talk going the way he wanted to go and take care of it. You stepped in and, like, kind of played older man.
No, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Even though, 100%, if tomorrow fucking Sorensen was to jump his play, he'd probably, like, rip his throat out. So, oh,
if it was with a suspect, then yeah, he'd be really pissed.
It just all depends. Yeah.
So here we have Jones saying, like, hey, are you sure you don't want to wear a body mic? She's like, no, it prevented me from getting where we needed to last time. And then he's like, well, I'll be watching. And she's like, you know, James Baldwin's my favorite writer. And it's like, oh, are we getting a little flirtatious? We getting a little flirty flirt with this English tea? And I was like, you know, because Baldwin's now, he's got a question. He's like, do I go with Nicole? Or do I try out, you know, a date with this fancy British lady?
And yeah, I don't think those are the only two options this man has. Just putting that out there as well.
No, true. So this guy who plays Andrew Conover, this guy is named Simon Templeton.
Yeah, and I hate his hair.
And when I saw him, I got super excited because this guy was the star of a TV show that was canceled after two seasons, called The Neighbors, that I loved.
Yeah, I remember that show.
I really liked it, and I knew it was going to get canceled, but that's what happens.
For some reason, you went through a phase, like, for a while, where you just liked a lot of dumb shows.
Okay, well, thanks. Anyways, you went through a phase where your taste was shit.
yeah, pretty much, dude.
Anyway, I thought that guy was really funny on the show, and you may recognize him from that, or the fact that he does voices in a fuck ton of video games.
Kirk, how would I recognize that he does voices?
You might see his name in the credits. You might see his name in the credits, Cal.
I've never stayed for a credit in a video game ever.
That's because you don't appreciate the hard work people put into your video games. Anyways. So basically, she's kind of flirting with him, and he's being way more forward than the last time by being like, yeah, I'm an embalmer. yeah, maybe I'd take women there. And maybe he also says, that's where I work and sleep. And I'm like, so you sleep in a fucking embalming workshop? That's creepy as fuck.
That is really weird. Like, what? And wouldn't the person that he's working for be like, no?
Unless he's watching him rape and murder people and he's down with it, like a creep. So his method of flirtation is just let him know that you're a creep and maybe she's into it.
Yeah, but do it with greasy hair and a smile, it's all good.
I'm kind of bummed that you don't like a lot of this guy, because I really liked him in The Neighbors. And The Neighbors had another star on it that is in several episodes of NYPD Blue as well. I forgot his name.
I've never seen an episode of The Neighbors.
It's fine. It's fine, Joe. Also, when he said clever girl, it reminded me of Jurassic Park.
Jurassic
Anyways.
Park. Clever girl.
They should all be destroyed. Because if we don't, then Chris Pratt will train them in 20 years. and say things to raptors like, I'm going to get your girl back. It's a raptor! It's not a human being.
How about the fucking third movie, like, had dinosaurs, but I don't think it, like, dealt with dinosaurs.
I haven't even seen it. I haven't seen the second or the third of the new ones. The first one made me
so
mad.
Like, I don't even think, like, the third one had dinosaurs and shit in it, but I think it was, like, dealing with this corporation that was, like, evil and, like, creating, like, a plague or something. And, like, it just was happening in a world that had dinosaurs because of, like, all the fallout from the other, like, seven movies.
So, this part of the episode, they run the fact that the guy didn't show up to the date. And they think it's because...
Like, a fall off. What a fall off from the first Jurassic Park till now.
Yeah, I agree.
Can we talk about... Can we, like, is that the biggest fall off in a franchise?
No. No, there's worse.
What's bigger? Star Wars. Star Wars for sure.
Gremlins. No.
Those last three were fucking trash.
So I wanted to talk about this, like... They cut to Jones, and he's like, Nicole, that wasn't a good first date. It wasn't a good time. And then Alice is like, hey, you want to talk in here? And he's like, cool. So they're like, oh, maybe he's going to be trying to date her. They share...
Maybe he wants a little English crumpet.
maybe he's looking into a different kind of rub-off.
Hey! Maybe he's looking to use his tube.
What?
That's what they call the subway.
Yeah, I know.
but his dick's as big as a subway, so we call it the tube.
Maybe he's looking to get into her London Underground.
Hey. Maybe he's trying to cross her London Bridge.
Oh. But he'll make sure not to get any in her London Eye. Hello.
Oh, hey, remember the Queen's dead.
What the fuck? That was so weird. Speaking of weird, this scene is fucked up because everybody just says hi to each other. Don't know why it's even in the episode.
Did they walk by each other? Shit. So what's weird to me is that this whole time you think that, like, Baldwin and this chick are, like, feeling each other.
Mm-hmm.
When I think, like, this chick is, like, trying so hard to not try to have sex with this older man.
Oh, no, there's a moment at the end of this episode where it seems like that's exactly what she says, which is weird. Okay, so I wanted to mention something. Okay, are you watching this on a pretty big screen?
It's somewhat big. Why?
Okay. Do you see the certificate behind her head that just says balls?
Balls? Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. I want to know what the rest of it says, though.
I remember the first time I rewatched this episode, and I was like, why would the prop master be like, okay, so we're going to make this certificate. It's going to look like a normal certificate.
Well, what about... the
balls.
Thing is, like, it's just that, what's the thing next to it that's just in big random letters that says, like, universal something?
Oh, I think I wrote, like, it down. Hold on. Universal.
Who wrote that down?
Universal precautions.
Yeah, but, like, there's nothing listed below it.
It's just the board. The board itself is universal precautions.
And one of the precautions is balls?
Do you think this embalming place got an award for outstanding embalming of balls? Like, what is that?
My question is, these two people aren't on the payroll. Why are they putting them in danger?
Oh, because they really want to get this guy, Kyle, because he's a bad guy.
First of all, Sipowicz, if he knows this man Jimmy is dying, putting him in a scene where, like, it could turn into like a situation, highly a problem.
Oh yeah. Well, they keep telling him, like, he can't do any heavy lifting, and they're like, you can't run in because it's a law. When really they're like, we just don't want you to die.
But, like, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
And then he's like, don't go in yet. He has to admit that he's a murderer.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do it. Not yet.
And Sipowicz says, let us do our procedure. And also, they, like, then you watch fucking Joan slam that dude. Like, he's ready to go WWF on his ass. Also, it looked like there was just a bottle of red and blue Powerade on that table.
Hey, when you're an embalmer, sometimes you're out, you know, burning the midnight oil.
You need to get some electrolytes.
Or you're burning that embalming oil, you know? You don't know.
Yeah, you gotta stay hydrated. Hey,
gotta stay hydro.
So this fucking, the end of this episode, so weird. I don't, like, when I said I like this episode, I don't think it's, like, really good. I just find, I find it entertaining.
When I say I like this episode, I don't necessarily mean, like, I like it. I just like to say, like, you know, that, like,
I like it. I like this show how I like The Neighbors. No,
quiet
I...
and not around.
So,
oh, you meant, like, the show Neighbors. Okay.
Yeah. So, so, basically, Sipowicz is like, yeah, Jim, they both do this thing where they're like, man, Jimmy did a great job. Yeah, Jimmy's doing a great job. He didn't show that guy weakness, didn't show that he was not feeling well. And then before he leaves the room, Sipowicz is like, look, I'm kind of like a blunt object. And he had more finesse. Sometimes it's good to see somebody else work. And it's like, are you giving him a teachable moment? I feel like he's been around long enough to know how you do things and how other people do things.
Talk about, like, participation trophy. Like, that man did nothing.
Which man?
Jimmy.
Oh, no. They mention how Jimmy took over the interview, which is like, well, how come we don't edit down this scene where you give him a bunch of fucking trash and you show us the scene where he runs an interview?
Well, because he probably, the doctor couldn't run the interview.
I guess so.
He probably, if the actor could have acted the interview, they would have done it.
Here comes...
That's what I think. Or one of them couldn't do it. Either the bad guy wasn't good, or, like, I feel like they would have had it.
And Simpkins comes back to offer apologies. And basically go, like, are you guys going to get me in trouble? Because I'm sorry. And,
he does the alcoholic apology.
Yep.
Shit. Maybe I can just get it to a point where they don't say anything.
Maybe this won't hurt me in my career. Because he's basically like, if you don't put it in the fives, maybe it could be good. And then he has to be a dick about it where he's like, maybe I do have a problem. Sipowicz, can you get off my back? And he's like, that's not what's on your back right now. And then he's like, maybe this English guy wants me to grovel. And then Sipowicz is like, his name is Jimmy Cheatham.
Yeah, dude, Sipowicz has like a boner for this guy. It is so weird.
It's because Sipowicz sees himself in that guy. He had his Bucci case.
Can Sipowicz see himself in this guy?
No, because that guy's a piece of trash.
So was Sipowicz.
He would never, according to him, he would never push a case like that guy did. Even though he probably did when he was drunk.
That's fair, but that's fair. Yeah, we don't know, like, what he would and wouldn't have done. Like, we didn't see him when he was, like, really drunk.
When he was really, really bad. So here is a weird one where they, like, I don't know if they're trying to run a game on Jimmy, where they're like, look, if we have to put in the fives that you spoke to him, then he's going to get in real trouble. Unless you don't want us to say that you spoke to him. And then he says something that I find very interesting, which is, I didn't get into this line to hurt other cops. It's like, wow, I didn't know the blue line was in the Union Jack as well.
Oh, that blue line's all the way. It's the equator, bro.
That blue line is the equator. Because in theory,
what's the equivalent of the equator, but that's on the north and south axis?
I don't remember. But now it turns into fucking supermarket sweepstakes, and they just start fucking throwing shit at this guy.
Yeah, this dude's gonna be dead in 2 months. He doesn't need all this shit.
They're giving him a Big Apple pin and a DEA pin, and then we're gonna give him some DEA courtesy cards, and then we're gonna give him some hats, and then we're gonna give him a sweater. And then he was like, I'll give you this toy car that I was going to give to my son. What?
Some weird shit. Like, I don't get it, dude. Like, I don't get it.
And now here,
like,
and that's, keep in mind, that's intercut with Jones on the phone with Nicole going like, look, I had to postpone the date. We were on work. While he's trying to catch Allison when she gets out of the bathroom.
No, dude, double dipping.
Double dipping.
Just keep the hand sandy clean, you know what I'm saying?
And they start giving each other pins. And it's like,
like, is this a Disney convention? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, these are pin traders, dog.
Is this a Disney convention, or is this a Sox, or is this a Crocs?
Yo, I got Dio de los Muertos Goofy. What do you got? Oh shit! I got 50
year anniversary Goofy with the wrong color hat.
Oh shit! Oh, I got, you know what I got? I got the Incredibles when they open the Incredicoaster.
I got the first pin ever created by Walt Disney. Yes, it is that anti-Semitic.
And also, fucking Fancy's like, tell him this is a Lieutenant Pin. Like, what is that pin? Is it just like a 7-Eleven pin? Like, he's like, tell him that's from the Lieutenant. This says Party Naked. Yeah, it's a Lieutenant Pin. Like, what the fuck? And then they give him a big-ass bag of just shit. He's like, what am I going to do with all of this?
Like, nah, I'm good. Like, if someone did that to me, I'd be like, look, guys, I am good, or mail it. Like, I appreciate it, but I'm not carrying this shit on a plane.
And also,
I don't bring enough on a plane for myself for the week, let alone to bring, like, shit back.
And also, I think they gave him, like, three different mugs. Like,
yeah, why
what
not?
The fuck?
Yeah, I mean, he drinks a fuck ton of tea, so.
She calls out Jones being like, were you waiting out here for me? He's like, well, that lock's busted. Also, I want to bust up your lock. What?
I want to jack your ripper, dude. What?
So, this is the weird one. James is like, I was honored to see you.
You've said that like five times this episode.
That's why I like this episode. So, he's like, it's honored to see you guys work. And she said, I love him.
Like, they barely worked.
She did a lot of work. She did a lot of work. She almost got assaulted. Okay. Well, she did get assaulted.
I was about to say, she didn't almost get assaulted, Kirk. She did get assaulted.
But what I love is she basically tells...
Ha, ha, funny, ha, 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 woman getting assaulted, ha, ha, ha.
She basically says, like, oh, I love him. Isn't that good luck? And it's like, it's not good luck. You're in love with an old man who's going to die.
And that sucks. Like, I'm sorry. Like, so, I wish you could be in love with who you wanted to be in love with.
So, this date, then, it's awkward as hell. Because they're not really talking. And then when she tries to, he kind of cuts it off.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no one's grading the conversation.
I have another reason for why it's awkward, but I'll go after you.
Doesn't it seem like he got the engine going with Alice at the station and was like, well, I guess I'll have to just bone this one.
A little bit, but I also feel like...
they hadn't met...
I don't know, like, I also feel like it's weird when, like, you guys just don't have chemistry.
I don't
know if it's because, like, they don't act well together or what, but, like, I don't feel like a chemistry between these two, like,
oh, no.
Ever.
And because of that lack of chemistry and the fact that Jones was clearly wanting to get some of that, you know, that British action, it's like, okay, so then this just was 100% a quota to get some side boobs and ass.
Oh, for sure.
Like, this is not even necessary. It's not going
to
go anywhere.
Are we supposed to take his conversation with the British girl as, like, maybe he realized, like, like, I can't sit around and wait. Like, things may pass me by. I don't know. Like, anything else? I don't know. Because it just doesn't make sense.
No, I don't. And also, this is a indulgent softcore scene. It goes way too long.
It goes on for a minute.
And I wonder if she was like, I'm going to need more time. I need to break out of that Saved by the Bell role. And they were like, oh, I don't think you were ever going to.
I don't think we have that much time.
Do you mean, like, on Earth? Or
I don't know how many more seasons we got.
Man ass! But yeah, it doesn't really feel like it was people who were actually into each other, which is kind of a bummer. So anyway...
Yeah, like, even from their get-go, like, when they first met, like two episodes ago, and what was supposed to be that weird meet-cute, like, it wasn't good. Like,
no.
It's not like they, like, had, like, a chemistry.
No.
Like, as shitty as it was, like, the first time Danny met,
Mary,
like, there was at least, like, something there. Like, they at least, because he even has that line where he's like, who do you know, who did I offend that makes you, like, talk to me like that? And then they had, like, that little, like, how they got to know each other type shit.
That had
some kind of chemistry to it, even though, like, later on maybe it got weird or maybe the acting got stale or whatever. But, like, they just, from the get-go, just didn't seem to have, like, a chemistry at all that I enjoyed, so...
To me, it was like they were kind of on the same level of awkward, so their flirting made sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, like, a little bit is like, okay, they're both cops, they're both from this area. It's kind of like this abrasive, kind of like, okay, this is just how they're flirting with each other. This one, it really felt like Baldwin Jones is just like, hey, I'm trying to do my job, and she's like, hey, can I fuck you, though? Like, can we, like, have sex? Because you did me a favor, and I'd really like to bone you. Like, as soon as humanly possible. And he's just like, how about we go on a date? And she's like, okay, I guess that might work. And it's like, you guys shouldn't be trying this. This doesn't seem like it'll work out.
And, like, you brought it up before on a different episode and on this one. But it is weird that, like, she's also like, if I told you I was a sister.
Yeah. If I told you I was a virgin.
Sorry, she says sister. She's like, would that be okay? And then she says it again, and then she's, and like you said, she says, like, if I was a sister and a virgin, how would that go? It's like, what? This is like, what?
What,
what is this?
Maybe he's not interested. Maybe he was more of a Boy Meets World fan. I don't know, man. I it's almost like, because we have something we can compare it to immediately, which is Benita, if you remember, from those seasons and seasons ago. When Bobby had Benita show up and they had like kind of a thing, and there was chemistry there in like the like little interaction they had with each other. There was chemistry, and then when that kind of ended, it was like kind of tragic in a weird way. This one, it just feels like she's just like, can I? Hey, can I? And then Baldwin's eventually like, yeah, because this British woman wants to bone her grandfather. Like, it's...
Well, it's weird. It's weird. Think about it this way, bro. Sorry. When you first meet her character, right? She is like, hey, I am chasing down this story. Nothing's going to get in my way. I'm going to be this, like, kick-ass journalist, like, and you're not going to get in my way from being what I want to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I'm not trying to do that, but can you just not, like, get in the way of our investigation? Nope, I can't do that. They end up in, like, a weird caper. They have to fucking do whatever they have to do. So they go to the restaurant. He ends up helping her out. And then she totally turns away from being like, I'm this like independent kick-ass person to like, well, now that you helped me, like, I feel like I just have to be your sex slave. And like follow you around like a puppy dog. And until I can like have sex with you, like I can't function like a normal human.
Yeah.
And like, it's really weird. Like she comes in hot, like this like independent person. And then it's like, nah, kind of fuck that. We're just fucking around.
Well,
like, we were just messing with you. Like, that's not it at all.
And I don't know for sure, but I think, and I might be way wrong, I was going to look it up on IMDb to be sure. I think, yeah, she's only in two episodes of the show. So this is her last episode. So it was really like, okay, let's try this out. And then once it happened, they're like, ah, fuck her. Nah, we're done. Like, we're not going to bring her back because it just wasn't working.
So that makes me wonder, like, was she difficult? Like, maybe they had this idea for a character, and then, like, she was being mad difficult about it, maybe? Or, like, maybe there was just some, like, misunderstanding of what the character was supposed to be? I don't know. It's interesting.
I don't know. Could be anything. Other than that, this episode, I liked it because it's so bonkers and weird. You immediately, when you realized what it was, hated it, which is fun.
Yeah, I just hate, I don't like the storyline, the British storyline.
And
it was really dumb.
And it's one where everybody is on one thing, really. There isn't a side story other than Baldwin possibly dating this Nicole character and talking to Allison. Like, there is no other story. It's just this thing. So it doesn't even give you a chance to enjoy anything else about it. So if you don't like it, then you're not gonna like it. I just liked how it's so goofy, how it was just like, what if we bring in a British cop? And they're like, okay, what do you got? Like, I don't know if this is based on a true story. I don't know, like, I don't know if they were just like, what? Because, I mean, it's seven seasons in, so I'm wondering, like, what if we just had a British cop? And, like, that was the opening idea. And that's how they started the story.
But like, does that happen? Like to any of to Bill Clark or whatever? Like, when you were working, did like some dude come from like the UK and be like, "Hey, I think you got a serial rapist around here. Let me work with you to figure it out."
Like, did that? Yeah. It there's a lot of questions, and it was also because of the way that it was edited and put together, it was very different than the other episodes. So I was like, I don't know. I enjoyed watching this one. And the ball certificate, which is hilarious. Like
you are stuck on those balls, sir.
Because, like, well, first off, our fucking show is NYPD Blue Balls. And I'm sitting here and I'm like watching the episode, making notes. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, it just says balls over that woman's shoulder. That's hilarious. Like that, like, I, that's just such a random coincidence and thing. So, tea and sympathy. Thank you for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls, unless you got all the way to the end, which is kind of weird, but hey, you do you. If you have a moment, please rate and review the episode wherever you're listening to it. It's how we get seen in the algorithm. And hopefully, more importantly, people keep watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. Our current schedule is every other Tuesday, and we announce them on Twitter sometimes. Honestly, I'm not using the Twitter that much. That's Asher Bros Pod. And then on Instagram, at Asher Brothers Podcast. Where we announce the new episodes, which is usually every other Tuesday. There's a couple of books out there if you just need more NYPD Blue info in your life. There's What Would Sipwits Do?, a collection of articles about the show. There's True Blue, a book written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. There's Gene Kendall's, an unofficial guide to NYPD Blue. There are also a couple of side stories, one being Blue Beginnings and the other one being Blue Blood. I'm not 100% sure where you can find them. I found a couple on Amazon. But, yeah. Peace.